Hi, and welcome to another edition of SoxCast. I'm Jason Tuohy of Boston.com. This week, I talked to the Globe's Gordon Eads about the Red Sox chances of landing Mark Burley, the secret behind Coco Crisp's recent hot streak, and which Red Sox have the best chance of appearing in the All-Star game.
So, Gordon, trade winds are blowing. Rumor has it the Red Sox are in the hunt for White Sox lefty Mark Burley. Any truth to this?
Well, yeah, Jason, it certainly goes beyond the rumor stage. The Red Sox sent Allard Baird, who's a special assignment scout for Theo Epstein, to Chicago. He's been tracking Burley. The teams have talked. I think the reports, as often happens at this time of year, are a little bit ahead of the reality. And you know, Kenny Williams kind of added some fuel to the fire when he said the other day, when they asked him, are you trading Burley, and his answer was not today, which made it sound like perhaps something was imminent. In these situations, we have to remember, are very fluid and things can change quickly, but my suspicion is that Williams will dangle Burley out there right up until the trading deadline and see which team will make the best offer. There's a lot of teams obviously interested in bumping up their pitching, and first and foremost, the two New York teams, both the Mets and the Yankees, could use another arm. So you've got to figure they're going to be in it. Milwaukee's, which is making its strongest bid for a postseason position in years, has been mentioned as a possible destination. The Phillies, the Braves, I mean, any team that's really thinks they have a serious line on a postseason spot, you know they're going to be talking at some point with Kenny Williams, because starting pitching is obviously and always the most desired commodity at the trading deadline. So I don't see anything happening quickly. And one thing, Jason, I think people have to keep in mind is that we're talking about what is essentially a rent-a-player situation here, because Burley's eligible to become a free agent after the season. And do you want to give up your best prospects for a guy that may walk in October? And in the Red Sox case, I don't think they would even listen to the possibility of giving up a Jacoby Ellsbury or a Clay Buchholz. So could the Red Sox use a guy like Burley? Obviously. I mean, he's still young. He's, what, 28, I believe? 200 innings guy for each of the last, what, six seasons? You know, he had a kind of a rough year last year, had the ERA close to five, just under five, but he's bounced back nicely. And in an all right-handed rotation like the Red Sox have, he certainly would be welcome. The flip side of that, again, is that the Red Sox have a young man down in Pawtucket, John Lester, who's left-handed and has shown he can win at this level. So as I think we've discussed in the past, Jason, bringing up Lester at some point, and particularly in late July, assuming that he continues to build on his success in Pawtucket, is the equivalent of making a good trading deadline deal. I mean, he may be as good as anybody that the Red Sox can get at this point, and at a far cheaper price. Now, I should mention that Monday night in Louisville, Lester got lit up, probably had his worst start in the minor leagues this season. He gave up 8 runs and 9 hits.
Is there anyone in the Red Sox farm system who is completely untouchable? I mean, as Theo said, he won't even consider Ellsbury in talks for anyone.
Well, I mean, certainly Theo hasn't said that publicly. Mm-hmm. And I mean, if the Padres wanted to move Jake Peavy, or the Astros wanted to move Roy Oswalt, I would say all bets are off. But I think people like Ellsbury and Clay Buchholz come as close to untouchable as anyone in the Red Sox system. But again, it depends on the deal. I mean, if the Florida Marlins make Dontrell Willis available, and you know that Dontrell's name comes up every year at this time because of the stadium issues in Florida and the commensurate budget issues with the Marlins, you know, there's always a thought that they're going to move Willis, you know, then then I would say that all bets are off. So so to identify a player as absolutely untouchable in the Sox system, I think would probably be going too far. But again, after the Hanley Ramirez experience, giving up a guy who's probably going to be an all-star for the next 10 years, I think the Red Sox will tread very carefully before they give up their elite prospects.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, Coco Crisp has finally busted out of his slump, which was at least 2 months long. I've heard reports that the Sox coaches were really tinkering with his swing, and that might have been what helped him out. Do you know anything about that?
Yeah, and in fact, I wrote about it last week. Mm-hmm. Dave Maggin, the hitting coach, has worked with Coco quite a bit. And if you notice, he's standing straighter at the plate. These things are generally minor modifications in nature, Jason, and a lot of it is technical. But basically, what the Red Sox did were to straighten him up a little bit at the plate. Don't have him, taking quite as long a stride, and it's really made a difference when you look at the results. Since in his last 11 games, going into Tuesday night's game, and I'm taking you back to June 14th, Coco has 18 hits in 39 at bats. That's a .462 pace. He had the two home run game in Atlanta as part of his 4-for-4 game. He really is starting to produce, and that's one of the reasons you've seen the Red Sox tinkering with him in the leadoff spot again. I think in a perfect world, they'd rather have J.D. Drew hitting in the five hole and Coco leading off if Julio Lugo can't do the job. And Julio's slump, as I noted in Tuesday's paper, is reaching epic proportions here. 0-for-29. He's batting .191. That's the lowest average of any qualifier in the major leagues, which is just stunning. So that's why Coco has emerged again as a viable option in the leadoff spot.
Mm-hmm. Now, if Coco keeps hitting like this, do you think they will permanently put him in the leadoff spot and move J.D. Drew down in the order
into the five hole?
Yeah,
I mean, I think they would certainly like to be able to do that if they can get J.D. going and make him a viable enough threat that pitchers won't walk around, work around Ortiz and Manny as much as they have. It's better from a lefty righty standpoint, all of those kind of things. But that also raises the question, though: what do you do when Pedroia and Euclid are hitting as well as they are? If Euclid isn't going to hit in the five hole, then you probably don't want him hitting much lower than second. So I think we're still going to see a lot of experimenting between now and maybe the next 4 or 5 weeks. They're going to try various combinations and see what they can do. It's not the worst thing in the world, Jason, to have two guys who can run like Lugo and Crisp at the bottom of the order either. And
right.
In essence, he acts as a second leadoff man.
Mm-hmm. Now, does it bug players when the lineup gets shifted around so much? I mean,
depends on the guy,
yeah.
Jason. Like Euclid, for example, is very used to it.
Mm-hmm.
Coco, he started out as a leadoff guy in Cleveland and was dropped to the two spot. In Boston, he's hit now in a number of positions. J.D. Drew claims that it doesn't impact him terribly. There's other guys that Manny, for example, mm-hmm. is adamant about wanting to hit in the four hole. So you don't mess with that.
Right.
So it depends on the guy. I mean, a lot of guys are creatures of habit, creatures of routine, and get a little uncomfortable when their routines are tinkered with. I mean, sometimes we as outsiders, those of us who aren't players, kind of wonder what the big deal is about, you know, what place in the batting order you hit in. But I guess I've covered enough guys that it is important to that.
Yeah.
That I recognize that you know, there's you have to respect that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a parallel to some of our listeners might be, imagine coming into work and having your desk moved across the room.
Yeah, I mean, I suppose in one sense you're right, because you say, okay, what difference should that make in how you do your job? But I suppose if your view gets messed with and who you're sitting next to gets messed with and that kind of thing, maybe it can impact it, Jason.
Yeah. All right. Well, the All-Star game is right around the corner. Manny dropped in the voting to Maglio Ordóñez, is that right? So he's fourth and looking like he's not going to start this year?
Well, I mean, the voting, online voting, ends Thursday night at 11:59 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
All the voting in at the ballparks and all is over with. That's basically the only way you can vote now. And, you know, after being voted a starter 8 straight seasons, Manny is in some danger of not making the team as a starter, which of course is based solely on the fans' vote. It's still close enough, Jason, that he could with a late surge and the way Red Sox fans historically vote on this thing, mm-hmm. you know, he's only what, 15,000 votes behind Ichiro? Less than 15,000 votes behind Ichiro. So he could still get in there, but you know, Vladdy Guerrero is a runaway leader in outfield, and Maglio, as you just mentioned, has jumped into the top three. He's second now, and okay. obviously deserving. I mean, he's hitting what, 379. He leads the major leagues in hitting. He's right up there in the RBI leaders, and has had a great year. And Ichiro is third, and again, it's really tough to argue with Ichiro's a place on the team. You know, he had the long hitting streak, 25 games, I believe, earlier, and he had a 19 game hitting streak stopped last night, Monday night, by the Red Sox. But you know, his numbers, you know, he's hitting .359, which is second in the American League, and he's a great defensive player and very popular. So you know, he could well maintain his spot, and basically, on when you consider the numbers, he's probably more deserving than Manny. You know, Manny took an 0-for-4 Monday night. He had been at 300. He's down to 296, and he's only got 11 home runs, which is 25th in the American League, and the 42 RBIs is 27th, and those aren't Manny-like numbers. I think what's a little startling for me, though, Jason, is the fact that last year, Manny led all American League players in votes with over 3 million, and with him at 1.3 million now, that's quite a drop.
Yeah,
in a year's time. And it shows me anyway that the fans are paying attention a little bit.
Yeah, that's good to see. Now, other Red Sox who might be at the All-Star game, do you think Josh Beckett is going to be the starter for the AL?
I think he'll be on the. I think there's no doubt he'll be on the starting staff, but I wouldn't rush too quickly to the notion that Josh is going to start the game, because Jim Leland, who's managing the American League team, because his Tigers made it to the World Series last year, mm-hmm. he's got a guy on his staff by the name of Justin Verlander, who you can make a very strong case.
Yeah.
For getting the nod, and not the least of which is the fact that he threw a no hitter earlier this season. He's having
right.
a great year,
yeah.
And you know, CC Sabathia is right there from Cleveland. He's also in the same division that Leland's team plays in. He would be another worthy choice. Is Josh deserving of consideration? Absolutely, but I think it's far from a lock.
Mm-hmm. Now, it looks like Poppy is going to be voted in as the first baseman. Who else from the Red Sox do you think will make it? And is it possible to have Yukes make the team, too, and have two Red Sox as first basemen on the squad?
Yeah, the thing that's going to make it tough for Kevin is some of the procedural thing that go into picking an All-Star team. You know, every team needs to be represented, Jason. So when you look at the rosters and all, I mean, who are you going to take from the Texas Rangers? Well, the only guy that is having an all-star caliber season that I can see is Mark Teixeira, who's a first baseman. You know, Teixeira's hitting 302, and he's got 12 home runs, and he's got a higher OPS, which is on-base plus slugging, than Uekes. You know,
he's
for
a
me,
good it, fielder, too.
Yeah, it's hard for me to see Teixeira not making the team.
Uh-huh.
Justin Morneau is a defending most valuable player, and he's got 20 home runs and 57 RBIs. He's got to, I got to think that the players are probably going to vote for Morneau, and that leaves, you know, Teixeira becomes the third first baseman on the club, in my view. And where does that leave Uekes? Well, my guess is that he may be the guy that gets voted on in that you know, I forget what they call it, the last man.
Right.
You know, the 32nd man or the last man voting that's after the teams are chosen. Major League Baseball has fans pick one more player. That's how Johnny Damon made it a couple of years ago, and that could be how Uekes makes it. Given the way Red Sox fans support their players, I would think that if he's on the ballot, which I'd be shocked if he isn't, he's going to have a very good chance of making it in that way.
Yeah, definitely. Now, how about Mike Lowell at third?
I think Mike Lowell certainly is deserving of going. I mean, he's hit the skids recently, and a lot of that has to do with the sprained ligament in his thumb. But, you know, obviously A-Rod goes as a starter. He's leading everyone in voting. But I would think that Lowell will get major consideration on the player's ballot. And I think Mike is going to make the club. And, I mean, I think Manny will make the club also as a player selection, but he just won't start.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how about back to the pitching staff? Are we going to see Okajima and Papelbon in the bullpen there?
You know, I mean, to me, you could make an incredibly compelling case for Okaji to make the team, but I just can't see it happening. I think Paps
really?
Will go. I don't see, you know, it's just too hard for a setup man, no matter how good a year he's having, to get picked to the team. There's just too many other good pitchers. And again, Jason, this is where we run into having to pick players to make sure that every team is represented. I just think it becomes a numbers thing, and Okaji just isn't gonna squeeze through once the numbers get played out. And you wonder if there's a possibility that Paps doesn't make it. Although I'm expecting him to be there, but again, if he doesn't make it, it's because of the permutations required in having other clubs represented.
Yeah, well, it'd be tough to believe that you could choose any reliever over Paps, but you know.
Well, I mean, J.J. Putz is having a fantastic season here in Seattle,
and
Francisco Rodriguez is having a great year for the Angels. So it's not inconceivable, Jason. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not inconceivable, but. Does Paps want to go? Absolutely. You know, should he go? You know, again, the way he's pitched and he's come on strong lately. But you know, I mean, what about in Cleveland? They're talking about Joe Borowski as a possibility. I mean, which when you look at that ERA, it's over six. You say you got to be kidding me. But he also has 21 saves, which ranks. Second in the American League behind Francisco Rodriguez and tied with Putz. You know, kind of depends on who makes it from Cleveland. But, you know, for me, if you're saying Borowski over Papelbon, you got to be kidding me. But does Bobby Jenks wind up being the only guy going from the White Sox? Mm-hmm. You know, he's got 19 saves. I mean, who on that White Sox team is deserving of going to the All-Star game this year? It's a tough pick.
Mm-hmm. I gotcha. All right. Well, so just a little reminder for Red Sox fans to go online and vote before Thursday, and keep an eye out for Kevin Youkilis making the 30th man ballot. Then, huh?
Exactly. And You know, and again, I don't think Red Sox fans need too much encouragement from us. They've shown a propensity for voting early and often, and I think that'll probably be the case again this time.
All right. Well, thanks very much, Gordon. We
appreciate
it. All right.
You got it, Jason.
All right. Take it easy.
Thanks for downloading SoxCast. To view an audio slideshow of this podcast or to send questions for the next SoxCast, visit www.boston.com/SoxCast. To read Gordon's latest article or for more Red Sox news, visit www.boston.com/sports.